21. The Monk. He didn't know where to go. He hadn't thought past the need to become whole again and finally return to himself. He hadn't even been entirely certain his plan would work, but he had clung to that piece of the thornwood, and the orphans had offered him the perfect chance to try. Alina.
She's alive.
Yuri's voice, an echo in his head, a gnat he couldn't quite seem to swat.
Sancta Alina, daughter of Dva Stolba, Alina of the Fold, she lives.
Yes, Alina Starkov was well and happy and living with her tracker, if you could call that living. Yuri's babbling awe droned on and on. Her questions had troubled him, but Alina always had a talent for getting under his skin.
Why do you have to be the savior?
The answer to her question was as obvious as it had always been. Who else could protect the Grisha and Ravka? A reckless boy who liked to play pirate. A vengeful girl too afraid of her own heart to master the tremendous power she'd been granted. They were dangerous. Dangerous to him, to his country, even to themselves. Children. His shadow soldiers carried him through forest and glade as his mind wandered to. Until at last, he arrived in a town by a river. This place was familiar, but most places were. He knew every pebble and branch of Ravka. But the guns and tanks and flying machines that had overwhelmed this world were new to him and unwelcome. Had his plan succeeded, had he managed to weaponize the fold with Alina by his side, Ravka never would have been vulnerable to this march of brutality.
She's alive! Sancta Alina, who gave her life for Ravka.
I gave my life for Ravka, he snarled at no one but the trees, and Yuri, finally chastened, went silent. He had the Nichivoya deposit him by a high bridge over the river gorge and walked the rest of the way into the village, unsure of where he was headed. His feet were bare, and he still wore Yuri's ragged black robes and trousers, the fabric bloodied where a bullet had grazed him. He longed for a bath and clean clothes, human things. Shopkeepers stared worriedly at him from their doorways, but they had nothing to fear from him, at least not yet. It wasn't much of a town, but he noted icons in nearly every window. Most of these backwaters were religious, and had grown more so during the Civil War. Alina was certainly popular, always shone with her white hair and lit as if she'd swallowed the sun. Very dramatic. He saw Joris, too, a wartime saint if there ever was one, and Sancta Maria, patron saint of those far from home. No signs of the Starless One.
All in due time, he told himself,
and Yuri joined in. They could be of one mind about that. Names crowded into his thoughts. Stosky, Kirill, Kirigan, Anton, Eric. An avalanche of memories. He'd been all of them. But who should he become now? He'd had plenty of time to consider such things in the isolation of his glass cell, but now that he was free, truly free to choose, he found that only one name suited. The oldest of them, Alexander. He had no reason to hide his strangeness anymore. Saints were meant to live forever. He passed into a muddy town square and saw a small church capped by a single whitewashed dome. Through the open door, he glimpsed the priest, tending to something by the altar, as a woman lit candles for the dead. It would do. For sanctuary. They couldn't very well turn a barefoot beggar away. It wasn't until Alexander was inside, the cool shadows of the church thick and comforting around him, that he realized where he was. Above the altar hung a painting of a man with iron fetters at his wrists and a collar at his neck, his eyes looking up at nothing. Sanct Ilya in chains. He really did know this place. He had come back to the beginning. This church had been raised over the ruins of the home of Ilya Morozova, Alexander's grandfather, a man thrown to his death from the very bridge Alexander had crossed on his way into town. He had been known as the Bonesmith, the greatest fabricator to ever live. And yet, he had been much more than that.
Hello?
The priest said, turning toward the doorway. But Alexander had already sunk into the shadows, gathering them like a shroud around his body in the darkness of the side aisle. He moved quietly to the door that he knew would lead him down into the basement, down the rickety stairs to where old pews and rotted wall hangings had been stacked. His memories were as dark and dusty as this place, but the plan of the church and what had come before it was buried in his mind, and he knew there was yet another room beneath this one. He located a lantern and went looking for the hatch. It didn't take long. When he pulled on the metal ring, the hinge let loose a shriek. Maybe the priest would hear and try to pray away the ghosts. Yuri rattled around in his skull at that little bit of sacrilege, but Alexander ignored him.
I will show you wonders, he promised.
This is a holy place,
Yuri protested. Alexander nearly laughed. What made a church holy? The gilded halos of the saints, the words of its priest.
The prayer is said beneath its roof.
He scowled in the darkness. The boy's piousness was exhausting. Alexander lowered himself into the room beneath the basement. Here, the floor was dirt, and the lantern showed nothing but earthen walls, roots trying to push their way through. But he knew what this room had once been, the workshop at the back of Morozova's home, the place where his grandfather had tampered with the boundaries between life and death, had resurrected creatures with the hope of building power into their bones. He'd tried to make his own amplifiers, and he'd succeeded. Alexander had attempted to follow in Morozova's footsteps. He'd cajoled his mother into bringing him to this town, to the home she'd occupied as a child. When she'd seen the church built in the place where her father's workshop had been, she'd laughed for the better part of an hour. They killed him, you know, Bagra had said, tears of mirth leaking from her eyes. The ancestors of the very men and women walking this town and praying in this church threw him into the river. Real power frightens them. She'd waved at the painted altarpiece. They want the illusion of it. An image on a wall, silent and safe. But power was exactly what Alexander had found, tucked away in this basement. His grandfather's journals, the records of his experiments. They had become his obsession. He'd been sure that he could do what Ilya Morozova had done. And so he'd tried. The result was the fold.
A gift,
whispered Yuri's voice, and Alexander was suddenly standing in Novokhribirsk, watching the tide of the fold rush toward him, hearing the screams around him.
You saved me that day.
Alexander peered into the darkness of the basement room. He certainly hadn't meant to save Yuri, but he was glad someone remembered the good he'd done for this country. He felt along the wall, the soil cold and moist beneath his palm, to the niche where he'd found the journals, bound up in oilcloth. Empty now? No, not entirely. His fingers fastened around something, a piece of wood, part of a child's toy. The curving neck of a swan fashioned with exquisite care, broken at the base. Useless.
Why did you go to Alina?
Yuri buzzed away.
Why seek her out?
To reclaim his power, of course. The universe wanted to humble him, to force him to appeal to a pair of pathetic orphans like a beggar on his knees.
Why did you go to her?
Because with her, he was human again. She had once been naive, lonely, desperate for approval. All the things that had made it so easy for him to manipulate his soldiers in the past. So how had she bested him? Sheer stubbornness. That pragmatic impulse that had allowed her to survive the orphanage, to endure so many years without using her power. Something more. He'd known the name for it once, 100 lifetimes ago.
It's not too late for you. Alina might be right, but he hadn't fought his way back from death for the sake of being saved. There was no penance for him to make. Everything he'd done was for the Grisha. For Ravka. And the Blight. Could he add that to the list of his supposed crimes? He had to admit that it was partially his fault. Though if the boy king had been good enough to lie down and die as he was meant to, the Obispaya would have been completed, and the fold never would have ruptured. But how terrible could it be? Ravka had been through worse, and so had he. Alexander looked down at the broken toy in his hands. He shouldn't have come here. He smelled the turned earth, the incense from the church above. This place was nothing but another grave. He wanted to be out of the darkness, back beneath the watery winter sun. He closed the trapdoor behind him and swept up the stairs from the basement, but he paused at the door to the church. He could hear the priest speaking, the shuffle and murmur of a crowd. They must have entered while he'd been sunk in his thoughts. What day was it? Had they all assembled for morning services? The priest was telling the tale of Sankt Nikolai, the little boy nearly eaten by cannibal sailors, who had gone on to minister to the poor and hungry. It was as bloody and odd as all the saints' lives. Perhaps it was time for a new story, a single saint, greater than all those who had come before him, who didn't dole out his power like some kind of banker keeping a ledger of prayers and good deeds. Perhaps it was time for a new kind of miracle. From his hiding place behind the door, he raised his hands and focused on the painted icon behind the priest. Slowly, shadows curled from Sankt Ilya's open hands. They began to bleed from his mouth. A gasp went up from the congregation. The priest turned and fell to his knees. Alexander drank their fear and wonder, heady as that cheap cherry wine he'd had in. He could not quite recall.
You see, Yuri,
your age of miracles has begun. He gusted through the church, disguising himself in a whirling cloud of shadow, and the congregants screamed. Alexander couldn't simply appear again, resurrected. There were too many old grudges, and there would be too many questions. No, there was a better story here. He would become Yuri. Let the boy do the talking for him. And when the time came, the monk would be his chosen one. A boy who came from nothing, endowed with great power. They'd loved Alina's little fairy tale. They'd love this one too. He would go to the fold. He would find those who followed the starless saint. He would teach the world all.